Hi, this is Harold Long. Welcome to the Hiltran United Weekly Message and Podcast. I'm glad you're making time for this week's teaching. I will have more to say at the end, but for now, let's dive right in.
Our scripture reading today comes from Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise Him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. He established them forever and ever. He fixed their bounds, which cannot be passed. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and frost, stormy wind fulfilling His command. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and women alike, old and young together. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for His people, praise for all His faithful, for the people of Israel who are close to Him. Praise the Lord.
I want to share a story with you for how humans came to be. So lean in. God created the donkey. And He told him, you will work tirelessly from sunup to sundown. Carry heavy bags on your back. You'll eat grass. And you will not have intelligence. And you'll live 50 years. You will be a donkey. The donkey answered back, okay, God, I'll be your donkey, but living 50 years is too much. Give me only 20 years. And God granted the donkey 20 years. God created the dog, and He told him, you will look after the human's house. You will be their best friend. You'll eat whatever they give you, and you will live for 25 years. You will be a dog. The dog answered, God, living 25 years is too much. Give only 10. God gave the dog 10 years. God created the monkey. And He told the monkey, you will jump from branch to branch. You will do silly things. You will be amusing. And you will live 20 years. The monkey answered, God, living 20 years is too much. Give me only 10 years. And God agreed. And finally, God created the first human. And He told them, you will be human, the only rational being on this earth. You will use your intelligence to control other animals and to have dominion over the world. And you will live for 20 years. The human answered, God, I'll be your human, but living 20 years is not enough. Why don't you give me the 30 years that the donkey refused and the 20 years that the dog didn't want and the 10 years that the monkey refused? That was what God did. And since then, humans have lived 20 years like human beings. They entered adulthood and spent 30 years like a donkey, working and carrying a load on their back. When their children leave home, they will spend 15 years like a dog, looking after the house and eating whatever is given to them. They will enter into retirement and spend 10 years like a monkey, jumping from house to house, or children from children, doing silly things to amuse their grandchildren. Amen. So there you go. Now you know why you do what it is you do. Why you swing from vine to vine. There you go. Now you know the truth. That's why we come to the Word, to get the truth. Today's message is entitled Symbiosis and Praise. You see that there on the screen. And what does the word symbiosis mean? It means everything, everyone. All inclusive, nothing left out. And that's what this psalm really tells us today. This is the second to the last message of the summer series, Summer in the Psalms. And this morning it's all about praise. And not just humanity, but all the creation praising God. So it's a really important lesson. It's a hard psalm to break down and really listen to it because it's very convicting. As all these psalms are as you go through them. And as I spend hours going through these psalms each week, preparing for today's message, when you're done with it, man, you're just convicted of what it has to share with you about the truth of humanity, but the truth of who you are. It's been said that concerts and sporting events are the only places in modern society where we can come together with a singleness of purpose without letting our biased judgment rule over other people and separate us from each other. That we can come there, you know, and just, we're going to go see Kenny Chesney or we're going to go see the Cardinals or whatever. We're there for that one thing and we don't care about who's around us. We're there to sing songs and be in unison and joy to the world. And a lot of people would state that that's the only place that happens. And it should be happening in the kingdom of God, but it doesn't. But it will one day, for sure. But that's really what our calling is as kingdom people, is to help bring that kind of thing about, where we're all one. We're all unified with all of creation, not just human beings, but all humanity coming together to praise God. That's what this message is all about today. The statement that they make has some truth, but again, God created us for more than just living for ourselves. And how amazing would it be if the whole world was worshiping and praising God at the same time? I don't know if you've ever been to a Billy Graham revival or been out to the Harvest Crusades or been to a fairly large Christian concert or been in that environment where it's just everybody's there, everybody's worshiping, everybody is just on fire that night. It's a powerful, powerful experience. But just imagine all believers, all people coming together to live like that. And again, that's what the kingdom ultimately will be about. Isaiah 45:23 and Romans 14:11 remind us that we are just one among many as human beings. We're just one. Nothing special. But unfortunately, we humans like to think pretty highly of ourselves, don't we? I mean, let's just be real. So I invite you to lean into today's message. I invite you to pull out the lesson plan that we're going to go through as we unpack Psalm 148. And be ready to be convicted, because it will definitely convict you, I can promise you, of what it says about human beings, what it says about our responsibility as human beings, and what it says about us as kingdom people and what our responsibility is. So let's dive into it. You also have the scripture and an insert in your bulletin as well, so you can follow along with the scriptures as I lift those out as we unpack this message today. But everyone and everything, every living creature are created equal and created to praise God, not themselves. That is really the synopsis of Psalm 48. Psalm 48 is not the final psalm. We'll kick that off next week on Psalm 150, but it's definitely plays a central role of bringing the Psalter, or the Book of Psalms, another word for that is Psalter, bringing it to a conclusion, a crescendo of praise, if you want to call it that. That's what this is all about. It's a crescendo of praise, bringing everything together, some symbiosis and praise. And Psalms 146 and 150 in this section of Psalms are all about praising God, all about it. So your first slide in your lesson plan is this. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. That is what God is calling for. Everything that breathes, plants, animals, everything that breathes is to praise the Lord. And how do you know that they don't? How do you know in their own way that plants and trees and animals are praising God when you don't speak their language and you don't know what they're doing? How do you know that they're not the ultimate worshipers compared to humanity? You don't, but this is what this scripture challenges us to think about when it comes to all living things. There's two major sections of this psalm that reinforce its ultimate inclusivity. The following is the initial hallelujah that we see in the very opening invitation. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Everything is invited to praise God in the first six verses that occupy the heavenly realm. If you look at those quickly, you can see that in scripture, that everything is invited to praise God. And the opening invitation in verse 1, which is also matched by verse 7, says, praise the Lord from the earth. And everything and everybody invited to praise God. In verses 17 through 13, it occupies or resides in the earthly realm. So we have the heavenly realm in the first six verses, but then in 7 through 13, it's everything in an earthly realm. So bringing everything together, heavenly and earthly together to praise God. So in short, which is our second slide, the entire creation is invited to praise God. Everything is invited to praise God. And this will change, or should change, and expand your mind of all creation, that God created everything for His glory and His glory alone. And then everybody's invited to the party. Everybody's invited to the concert. Everything. Everybody. And so we maybe not lose short of that. Verses 1 through 6 invite the occupants of heaven seven times to praise God. And seven is an important number in Scripture because it represents wholeness. It represents completeness. And anytime you see that number played out, whether it's in the number of refrains, the number of words used, in this case it's seven times, it means everything, wholeness, completeness. And we see that right here off the bat in Psalm 148. Here the occupants of heaven are animate objects, angelic beings, angels, celestial beings, all invited to praise God. Inanimate objects, you see that listed there. The sun, the moon, shining stars and waters above the heavens. And that was the old mindset of the Israelites, or the first people. I mean, they believed that there was a dome around the earth, and it was holding back the water, this dome. And if you look at Near Eastern literature and you look at any drawings back then, they would show the earth with like a dome over it. And this is where they believed the waters were held back, and that God would just release waters enough to flood the earth or to rain. But the dome, this mindset of the dome, you can see this language playing out here, coming from Genesis. All this refers back to Genesis. And the audience of Psalms knows Genesis well, I can promise you, as they read this. Psalm 148 affirms that God is revealed by what God does. So when you say, well, where is God? Look around. You know, look at life, the mystery of life. It's everywhere. God's fingerprints are on everything. And in this case, we're not just referring to the essence of God, but the entire cosmos, everything. When you look at the stars at night, or you look at the moon or the sunset or the plants or the trees, everything encompasses God. It's got God's fingerprints and authority all over it if you stop long enough to smell the coffee. This quote that you got in your bulletin here, it's not in your bulletin, but you'll see it on the screen here, from David McGlory, says this: creation fittingly expresses the true character of God, who is love. Amen. And so all of creation, in short, is an act of love. Everything that God creates is an act of love, affirming the good news that God loves the world, including all creatures and all features. This is where it starts to get convicting. Because do you, is ultimately the question. Do you love everything that God has entrusted us with? Verses 4, 7 through 13 get crowded when you start looking at the invitation of who's invited to the party. Sea monsters, the land, everything in it, all are included to be invited into this praise. And the list moves towards and concludes with humanity, and does so in the order of Genesis. So if you read the book of Genesis, how creation unfolded, it ends with humanity. So does it here. It's the same thing. But the difference is, when you look at Genesis, the culminating act is giving dominion to humanity over all of creation. But in Psalm 148, it doesn't do that. It puts us on an even scale. We're all equal. Humanity doesn't have dominion over anything, that we're all created equal. And verses 1 through 13 validate that God loves the whole world, and as the kingdom people, so should we. That's really the calling of the message. But do we? As individuals, as a society, as a communion, even as just a denomination, do we really live into that? God alone is sovereign, which means the sovereign claim of anything or anyone other than God is relativized. I mean, it all boils back to the sovereign authority of the Lord. Everything goes towards the God. In God's sight, if you see that in your scripture there, that the kings of the earth, the princesses, and all rulers are no more important to anybody or anything. They're just equal to everybody else. Even though they have this title, they're just one among many. They're just one among many invited to this big, holy party that God calls creation. And this next slide, friends, is really, really important. This is where humanity's really failed. and that is, number one, is that we're all equal in God's sight. And then this next slide. The word dominion in Genesis does not represent power, but rather responsibility. Boy, I hope you get that, because that's really powerful in that statement alone. The word dominion, when God says, I created humans to have dominion over all the earth, it's not about power, but responsibility. Humanity is to make sure that all of creation is preserved and protected. And the million-dollar question is, how are we doing? So that's what you need to wrestle with. How is humanity doing? Is it all about power, or is it all about responsibility? Or have we fallen short? I'll let you wrestle with that question. But it's a challenging one, to say the least, because that's really what dominion means in the Scripture. You got a responsibility. I'm going to entrust this to you. Take care of it. Doesn't mean you power it and control it and manipulate it and con it and use it to your own advantage. It means you're responsible for protecting and preserving it and allowing it to do what I created it to do. And how do we do with that? That's the challenge that we all face. The Genesis story doesn't open about Israel. So much is made about the people of Israel and this the chosen people. And we hear that language a lot from Jewish cultures and even in Christian cultures. But Genesis is not open with the Israel story. It opens about all humanity, all creation. Everybody is included. The story of Israel and this isolated group of people, which was really to be a beacon of light on a hill for other nations to follow, wasn't because they're super special. He just chose these people to be the light. And they failed miserably. We're not going to get into that story, but that's really ultimately what happened. The first covenant in the Bible is not with God and Israel, but rather with God and humanity. Really important, I think, to understand that. This helps us, I think, understand that God's will serves as a universal purpose in everything, and everyone is included in to be a part of His presence and His experience, and most importantly, His love. That we're all part of this, that we all get to experience this, not just a select few individuals. Humanity is to care for all creatures, not just human beings. God invites praise and worship with all living plants, animals, bugs, reptiles, humans, everything and everyone. Because God has entrusted humanity with this responsibility. And hopefully, as kingdom people, we take that seriously. We can't look out in the world and go, well, they're not doing it and they're not doing it. No, it starts with you and it starts with me. Are we doing it? Are we taking it seriously? You know, the author of Psalm 148 shouldn't be labeled an environmentalist, I don't think, or a tree hugger, but still, this psalm does lay a theological foundation for what we could call environmentalism, for sure, or ecological responsibility, or even more modern-day language, green, and we should be conscious and responsible when it comes to what God has given us. The truth is, the world belongs to God, friends, not human beings. God takes pleasure in loving the whole creation in all its marvelous, beautiful, intricate, and interconnected variety of ways. He loves all of that. And as a kingdom person, my heart should try to live towards that too, which for most of us, myself included, means a huge shift for how I live most of my life. Because I was just a taker. Taker of thing, a user of people. You add that all up, that just makes you a loser. That's what Lynn was lifting up in his testimony. It's how he was living his life. Selfish and self-centered. Thought about one person, himself. I'm not much, but I'm all I think about. You know, as a t-shirt would say. Or enough about me, what do you think of me? You know, that mindset. Just always about myself, all the time. And not worried about, you know, other people living in other places or other cultures, or how much electricity I'm using, or how much water I'm using, or, you know, how am I doing taking care of the environment? You know, I throw my trash away. That's about as far as it goes. And that's the self-centered nature of humanity. According to Psalm 148, God expects the cosmic congregation consisting of people and all creatures and features of the universe to be in unison. And so this next slide you'll see, this is where this language comes from for the title of our message. Terry Fraheim refers to the symbiosis of praise as involving everyone and everything, or you could say in one big word to include everybody, the environment. That we're all called to take care of this stuff, to live into this responsibility. You can do your own research on how the environment has drastically changed due to the evolution of humanity. Humans are using more resources, friends, than the earth can produce. And my question is, what happens when the resources run out? That's a great question. And all you got to do, if you don't think this is real, I could give you 100 examples right off the top of my head, but just go home and Google the Colorado River. Just the Colorado River right here in the United States. Just the last 50 years where that river is. It used to run all the way to the Gulf of Mexico. Now it doesn't go there anymore. It's drying up. Because why? Because we're extracting all the water out of it. Ask the people in Las Vegas what their biggest fear is. Sin City. Getting bigger all the time. Using massive amounts of water from that river to eventually it's not going to exist anymore. And then what happens? Well, water wars. If you watch dramas like some of these shows like Yellowstone and some of these Wyoming and these frontier type of dramas, a lot of the underlying stories of those stories are about water rights. They're about land rights, about water rights. And they're playing off this what's really going on in the world, that this stuff is real. And this is kind of how the drama will play out. You'll have people that have power, glory, prestige, trying to buy up and control as much of the resources as they can, buying politicians to control the water. And the ones that don't have enough will just be squeezed out. That's the world we live in. That's what we do with resources on a big scale. This is why this psalm is so convicting. It's why it's hard to listen to. You know, in the United States alone, the truth is, it isn't my math, it's just the reality, that America, the beautiful country we live in, we love, we praise, we give glory for living here. It's the greatest country in the world, no question. But it uses 24% of all the resources in the world. 24%. We use a fourth of all the resources in the world. How long can we sustain that? Number one. And number two, what's the other 75%? Think about that. And what if the other 75% one day said, 24%? We're not into it no more. And then there becomes this battle over resources. Well, what do you think we fight over today? What do you think all the Middle Eastern wars are over? Over oil and power and glory. It's for the nation. It's for resources. And so this is the battle we live in the world. And you can get lost in the worldly piece of this, or you can detach yourself from that and get into the kingdom presence, which is we were given dominion to be responsible for all this stuff and to make sure everybody is taken care of. Doesn't mean you have to be a socialist or a communist or there's nothing wrong with capitalism per se, as long as nobody's left out. But all these little governmental plays ultimately leave out somebody. In the kingdom, nobody's left out. In the kingdom, this third way, this alternative way to live, there's nobody left out. Everybody has clean water to drink. Everybody has something to eat. Everybody has shelter. Everybody has protection. Everybody's included. Read Galatians 3, 26 through 29, clearly spells it out. There is no Jew. There's no slave. There's no Gentile. There's no free. We're all one. We're in the body of Christ. Christ is in us. We are in Christ. Everybody's included. That's the kingdom way of living. That's a huge shift for most people, including Christians, to get into that mindset. Check this out. This is how important the other things in this world, these little creatures that run around, the little things that we can't stand, you know. If all the bugs in the world, this is true, pure science, if all the bugs were eliminated, humanity would last about 2 months and we would be extinct. We're very dependent on all the circle of life. Although we don't see it, we don't understand it. We learn some of it in science. But for the big picture is we don't understand it all. It's complex. And we don't care because we're living for ourselves. I don't care what the little bugs out there are doing. Here's something to think about. This is what came out of this for me. Have you ever considered, I love this for my wife. Have you ever considered that a spider, a fly, a tick, a mosquito, a snake, a worm, a mouse, to be your kingdom sibling? Look at everybody and go, what? But that's what this psalm is telling us, that we're all created, we're all part of creation, and we have a responsibility for those things. So think about that next time you grab your spouse's favorite magazine and you smash that fly, or you squish that little bug with your foot, and you know, that's God's creation. And you were given dominion over that and you just squashed it. I don't know. I got a lot of questions for God too. There's a list of them that concern bugs. Like, why the tick? You know, come on, God. Why the tick? Why chiggers? You ever been bit up by chiggers? It's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. So, but they're there for a reason. More than I can wonder why. That's one of my questions. But it's timely for today, this psalm is, friends, for today's culture. And as kingdom people, we need to take it seriously. So it doesn't mean we can't fish and eat fish or go hunting and eat deer tenderloin. I'm going to do all those things. But that's why we have conservation, to do it responsibly and to take care. Again, that's part of the conservation. It's part of how you are responsible to take care of things. But to go out and be a poacher and shoot an elephant just for its tusk or things like that, that's a whole different story in the world. And so that's what I'm talking about. It's just that we don't do a very good job as humanity. And all, we can't control what the world does, but we can definitely control what you do and what I do. And so this is the challenge 148's thrown at us. It's imperative to realize that much of our concern for Earth's future, and this is really true, even for the goody two-shoes on TV that want to speak out for all this stuff, this is where the selfishness gets deep. So even for the people who say we're for all these things, I can promise you that most of them aren't saying that for nothing but selfish reasons. I'm going to do this and preserve this because I want to maintain the lifestyle that I live. So I'm willing to do this so I can live on and do what it is I do. It's not because they're motivated, because this is God's creation and I've been given dominion. I'm to love it because God loves it. I'm doing this because I love it. No, they're doing it because they're selfish. Even when they're out there speaking, saying, well, we're going to stand up for this. But it's still for selfish reasons. It's still for selfish gain. And so you don't hear anybody get on TV and go, well, I'm an environmentalist because God gave us dominion and told us to be responsible. And I love God and I love all creation. That's why I'm doing it. You don't ever hear that. You hear on there because they just want to maintain their lifestyle. I don't want them coming in here logging because I like to sit on the back porch and look at logs. You know, I don't want them coming down here and doing this industrial because I like fishing in this lake. It sounds great and it's important, but it's still selfish, is the point that I'm making. The Hebrew text of Genesis makes it clear that humans and earth are connected etymologically. That means that we are humans, are creatures, and our origin of our future are bound to the earth's past, before we ever were created, the present, the current times, and the future for the people that come behind us. Although we don't think so, and we rarely think about those things. That's just the hardcore truth. We just don't. If you're honest with yourself, you don't think about that stuff. What we need to do more than anything, and Psalm 148 points this out, is the recognition that God's ownership upon earth and heaven. God owns it. The title's in God's name. It's not my name. It's not humanity's name. It's God's business. God owns it. I'm going to let you borrow it. It's like your 16-year-old kid. Here's the keys to the car. You better take care of it. It's your responsibility. Amen? And then you pray as soon as they walk out the door and get in the car. Amen? Well, we do. But that's the reality of it. Living out our praise, as we sing praise songs every week, but living out our praise instead of just singing about it is how we affirm our worship. In other words, living in such a way that acknowledges and preserves the value of integrity of who we are as people, creatures, and features of the world God created. So we live this stuff out. We don't just sit and sing about it or talk about it or dance about it, but we actually go out and live it. And it's a big deal. A faithful response to the invitation of 148 is to praise the Lord. That's a great place to start. If you're not praising God on a regular basis, start there. But start taking the creation a little bit more seriously. Next slide says this. It's possible that humans are not supposed to live this way. That's a good question to ask ourselves. The way that we're living our life, the way we're exhausting through, you know, resources in the world, the way we're living right now in this industrial age and all the stuff that we're doing, flying to space, you know, going on Mars trips. Is this how humans are really supposed to be living? If we're using up more resources than is available, that's a fair question to ask. Is this how we're supposed to be living? The future will tell us, you know, if we're way outside God's will for humanity, because once it dries up, it'll dry up. And it isn't that God's punishing us. And there's some people out there in the world who think, well, if we run out of water, God will just give us more. If we run out of nitrogen, God will just give us more. Well, read the parable of the talents. God gives you the responsibility to take care of stuff. If you blow it, he's not just going to give you another bank account loaded full of money if you've blown all your money. And so it's really, really important to think about. This next slide says this. Psalm 148 makes it clear in God's view and purpose, everything is created equal. And that's, do I really live that way? Does our world live that way? This is where you got to be honest with yourself. Do I really view the world as equal? Because I can promise you, that wasn't always the case for me. I'm not saying I do that perfect today. But that's what God's calling me to as a kingdom person. That's what I'm supposed to do. But do I really do it? I mean, I have my share of isms and my share of phobias. And they've lessened the longer I've been walking this kingdom walk. But do they still there yet? Do they still rise up and bite me? You bet. You know? But this is the part of the growth that I still have to do as a human being. You know, it's just like we go to the junkyard of life and this big magnet that we are just attracts a lot of broken junk to our life. We didn't ask for a lot of it, but we got it. Where did you get all the isms and phobias? Passed down to you by your parents? Who gave them to you? But you got them. But what do you do with that? And is it really, do we really view the world as equal? It's just a challenge. It's the primary value of Psalm 148 is to, inseparably, of theology and ecology. And it's an important, I think, has an important implications for us as we structure the kingdom community big time. The Declaration of Independence proclaims that all people are created equal. I think it's pretty evident that to everyone that very few people believe this or act as if they believe it. Very few people at the end of the day. Because we're separated by skin color, by zip codes, by the way we talk, the way we walk, the way we act, the way we smell, what we eat. All these things divide us and keep us separated in the world. And we're over here as Cardinal fans thinking we're better than Cubs fans, which we are. But I'm just saying, but we have this going on. And if we're honest with ourselves, we struggle with this. But this is not what God has called us to be. If we truly believe that as a kingdom community, as a world, there would be nobody hungry. There would be nobody homeless or uneducated or unemployed or unprotected or living on the streets or fear for their life. Be nobody. Humanity would stand in solidarity throughout the world. That is what kingdom of God looks like on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of God is going to happen here, friends, and we're part of it. We're right in the middle of this chapter. We get born into it. The story's already been going. We come into the story and we're going to go to heaven and somebody else is going to come into the story. The story is ever evolving. But the kingdom of God is going to happen on earth as it is in heaven. And am I ready to do that? And that's what we're challenged to do. Psalm 148 invites the full recognition of God's sovereign claim upon all peoples. In a profound sense, the solution to the current human crisis begins with the faithful response to the invitation that Psalm 148 gets us, and that is to praise God. Amen? So the last slide says this. God expects everything to worship God and God alone in symbiosis, meaning all together. That's what we're called to do. Do we do it? Not very well. Is there going to be ramifications for it? I think we already see those things playing out in the world. What do? Well, we praise God. And we go out and live as if we try our best to bring people together through invitation, through prayer, but most importantly, just loving people. You know, if we practice what Lynn Cunningham says, those three L's, if I go out and really try to live the kingdom life, I try to love like Jesus, and I try to learn as much as I can from the Word of God and from the people about me, I'm going to be better for it, and the world's going to be better for it. That's what Jesus told us. He summarized the whole law down to this commandment. Love God. Love your neighbor as yourself and change the world. Amen? That's what we're called to do. That's how we'll make it happen. May not see it materialize in our lifetime, but God promises it's going to materialize at some point on His time, not ours. We don't know the day or the hour that's going to happen, but until that time, as long as we're living, breathing here, it's our responsibility to have dominion. Take it seriously. It's not power. It's responsibility. Let's go out and love everybody the best we can, especially this week as we go forward. So let's rise up as I pray us out, and the band will come up and sing us some songs, and we're going to praise God as we're called to do in Psalm 148. It's going to be awesome. And then you're going to go out, and instead of squashing that spider, you're going to put him, you're going to invite him into the house. You'll have a pet tick before the week's over. Let's pray. That's scary, isn't it? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. Your Word is always convicting if we really take it seriously. Let us take it seriously. If we put the magnifying on Psalm 148 and attach it to our lives, we're humbled that we don't treat everybody as equal. There are people who are marginalized and oppressed all around the world, even right here in House Springs. We don't take our environment as seriously as we should. We just live for ourselves. It's the common theme in the world. And Lord, we confess that each and every one of us get caught in that trap. Lord, this week we turn our will and lives over to you. And we ask that you remove any barriers, any hang-ups, any junk in our life that prevent us from taking this psalm seriously. Lord, we want to be the best we can be. We want to live like Jesus. We want to be kingdom people. We want to be truly responsible for everything you put in our possession. Even though it might only be a small role, Lord, just help us take that seriously. Be conscious of it. Be thinking about it. Be praying about it. Be praying for the courage to live into it. That's what we pray today in a bold way. We want to be able to do that in a big way. Lord, we know our brother Lynn was with you, and we know what Lynn taught us, the three L's, to live. What an insult, like he said, it would be to you, Father, if we just didn't truly live out the kingdom life. To love like Jesus taught us to love. And to learn, to stay open-minded, stay teachable. We know, as Mother Teresa said, that you got to remain green because green things are growing. Lord, help us to remain green. Help us to live. Help us to love. Help us to learn like our brother Lynn Cunningham, but more importantly, like our Savior Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, Amen. Hi again, this is Harold. Thanks for listening to our weekly message and podcast. I hope that we have shared something helpful to you wherever you are in your spiritual journey. Just so you know a little bit more about us, we are Hill-Tran United. Hill-Tran United is an alliance between Hillsboro United Methodist Church and Transformation United Methodist Church. We are kingdom churches and kingdom communities for people who aren't into church. We meet Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. at Hillsboro United Methodist Church and 11 a.m. at Transformation United Methodist Church. Both churches are located in the northeastern tip of the beautiful Ozark Mountains, located in Jefferson County, Missouri. We also meet during the week in smaller groups that we call life groups and home churches, and that's how we make it relational. We hear regularly from people from all over who are engaging in personal and group studies based on our teaching, and we would love to know if that is happening where you are at. If you want to connect with us, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Vimeo, and YouTube, or you can download our app from your favorite app store. Just search for the app titled Our Church by Church Dev and enter in Hill-Tran United, and you can access all of our available audio, video teachings, plus through the app or our website, you can download our PowerPoint slides, bulletin, sermon notes, and discussion questions. It's all there for you. And lastly, if you want to learn more about how you can support Hillsboro United Methodist Church or Transformation United Methodist Church financially, please go to www.hilltran.org for more information and to give. We appreciate anything you can do to help. Hey, thanks for being a member of this extended church family. I'm glad we are in this together as kingdom people, commencing shoulder to shoulder to help people rediscover life and experience the kingdom of God.